Welcome to Zichur Daf Simani Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Second Shabbos, Daf Pei Gimel. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Brice that from the Pasuk regarding the Tumah Ziva, Dabru al B'nei Yisrael, we learned that only B'nei Yisrael are susceptible to Tumah Ziva, but not non-Jews. However, the Rabban decreed upon non-Jews that they be regarded as Zavim in all matters. And this decree was imposed on non-Jews from the age of 9 and older to discourage Jewish boys from playing with these children, so as not to be seduced into engaging in sodomy. And that's brought down in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. Point number two, the next Mishnah teaches that ships are not susceptible to Tumah based on a Pasuk of Mishnah where Shlomo Melech enumerates four things that a person cannot know, one of them being Derech Haniyah B'Lev Yam, the way of the ship in the heart of the sea. The Gemara explains that a ship is like the sea. Just as the sea is not Mekabel Tumah, so too a ship is not Mekabel Tumah. An alternative source for a ship not being Mekabel Tumah is brought in a Braisa. The Braisa says that Hananya learns it from an analogy drawn between wooden vessels and a sack. Both mention the pasuk regarding Tumah Sheretz. Just as a sack is carried at all times full of items and at times when empty, so too any vessel which is Mekabel Tumah must be made to be carried when full or when empty. A ship which is too heavy to be carried when it's full, therefore is not Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara presents the practical differences between these two sources. And point number three, the Gemara brings two explanations of the pasuk Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamus Be'Oel. This is the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. Rabbi Yonason learns, Lom al yimna adam etz atzmo mi beis hamidrash, mi divrei Torah, va'afil b'shas misa. A person should never prevent himself from attending the beis midrash or refrain from words of Torah, even at the moment of death. Reish Lakish learns, Ein divrei Torah miskaimin el b'misha mei mis atzmo alea. The words of Torah not retained except by one who kills himself over the Torah. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in the Braisa that from the pasuk regarding Tumah Ziva, Dabru al B'nei Yisrael, we learn that only B'nei Yisrael are susceptible to Tumah Ziva, but not non-Jews. However, the Rabban decreed among non-Jews that they be regarded as Zavim in all matters. And this decree was imposed on non-Jews from the age of 9 and older to discourage Jewish boys from playing with these children so as not to be seduced into engaging in sodomy. And that's brought in Gemara and Avodah Zorah. Point number two, the next mission teaches that ships are not Mekabel Tumah, based on a Pasuk of Mishlei, where Shlomo Melech enumerates four things that a person cannot know, one of them being Derech Haniyah B'Lev Yam, the way of the ship in the heart of the sea. The Gemara explains that a ship is like the sea. Just as the sea is not Mekabel Tumah, so too a ship is not Mekabel Tumah. An alternative source for a ship not being Mekabel Tumah is brought in a Braisa. The Braisa says that Hananya learns it from an analogy drawn between wooden vessels and a sack. Both mention the Pasuk regarding Tumah Sheretz. Just as a sack is carried at times full of items and at times when empty, so too any vessel which is susceptible to Tumah must be made to be carried when full or when empty. A ship which is too heavy to be carried when full, therefore, is not Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara presents the practical differences between these two sources. Point number three, the Gemara brings two explanations of the Pasuk in Parshas Chukas, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamus Be'Oel, this is the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. Rav Yonason learns, Lom al yimna adam etz atzmo mi beis hamidrash mi divrei Torah, va'afil b'shas misa, a person should never prevent himself from attending the beis midrash or refrain from the words of Torah, even at the moment of death. Reish Lakish learns, Ein divrei Torah miskaimin el b'misha meimis atzmo alea. The words of Torah not retained except by one who kills himself over the Torah. All right, so now we go to Siman for Pei Gimel, and once again, a lot of great suggestions. The most popular were pigs. We had pogo sticks, which came in a lot, and then Yeshua Eisenberg suggested a pig on a pogo stick, which I thought was very funny. We have pages, pagoda, pegs, tent pegs. We had piggy banks. We had pug and wine pajamas, pager, pigeons. And then we had a boy and a girl on a date, because that's a pagisha. So that I thought was also very cute. But we're going to go with the most obvious, and it was most popular, pig. So pig is going to be our sim for Pei Gimel. So here goes. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tumah Ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, where everybody lives in tents of Torah. Once again, in slow motion. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races. Pig races, that means we're on Daf Pei Gimel. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community pig races because of Tumah Ziva, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that from the Pasuk regarding Tumah Ziva, Dabru al B'nei Yisrael, we learned that only B'nei Yisrael are susceptible to Tumah Ziva, but not non-Jews. However, the Rabban decreed upon non-Jews that they be regarded as Zavim in all matters. This decree was imposed on non-Jews from the age of 9 and older to discourage Jewish boys from playing with these children so as not to be seduced into engaging in sodomy, and that's brought down in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tumah Ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, which reminds us the next mission teaches that ships are not makabel tuma, based on a pasuk in Mishlei where Shlomo Melech enumerates four things that a person cannot know, one of them being derech aniyah b'lev yam, the way of the ship in the heart of the sea. The Gemara explains that a ship is like the sea, just as the sea is not makabel tuma, so too a ship is not makabel tuma. An alternative source for a ship not being makabel tuma is brought in a brisa. The brisa says that Hananya learns it from an analogy drawn between wooden vessels and a sack. Both mention the pasuk regarding tuma sherets. Just as a sack is carried at times full of items and at times when empty, so too any vessel which is makabel tuma must be made to be carried when full or when empty. A ship which is too heavy to be carried when full, therefore, is not makabel tuma. The Gemara presents the practical differences between these two sources. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of tuma ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, where everybody lives in tents of Torah. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings two explanations of the pasuk in Parshas Chukas, Zos haTorah Adam ki yamus be'ol. This is the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. Rabbi Yonason learns, Lo amul yimna Adam etz atzmon bibeis ha-midrash, midiri Torah, afil b'shas misa. A person should never prevent himself from attending the Beis Midrash or refrain from words of Torah, even at the moment of death. Reish Lakish learns, Ein divra Torah miskaim el b'misha memis atzmo aleh. The words of Torah are not retained except by one who kills himself over the Torah. So once again, the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tuma Ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, where everybody lives in tents of Torah. All right, now it's time for four blah back Hazorah. Daf Ein Tes. So the symbol for Ein Tes is an 8, a pen. And we think of a scribe. It's over with a quill. So here goes. The rookie scribe took his quill. Scribe taking his quill, that means we're on Daf Ein Tes. The rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on unprocessed hide the size of a kameo, which reminds us, Rav Nachman told Rava that unprocessed hide has the same minimum shear to be liable for carrying as processed hide, which is the amount to make a kameo. He brings a proof from a Mishnah later on that teaches that the minimum shear from a laban, whitening wool, menapates, disentangling it, and saveya, dyeing, is the same shear for tova, spinning the thread, since the raw wool stands to be spun into thread. So here too, in the case of unprocessed hide, its shear is the same shear as tanned hide, since it stands to be tanned. So the rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing an unprocessed hide the size of a kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tummy from touching his tefillin scrolls, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa regarding which parts of the tefillin render one's hands tame when touched, in keeping with one of the 18 enactments learned earlier on. The Tanakhama says the straps of the tefillin make one's hands tame when they're attached to the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, touching the katsitsa, the leather boxes, render one's hands tame. And Rabbi Zakeh says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, one's hands only become tame if they touch the mezuzah, the scroll of the tefillin itself. So the rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on unprocessed hide, the size of a kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tame from touching his tefillin scrolls that were written on cloth. Which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa that it's halach l'moshe m'Sinai, that tefillin must be written on cloth, which is the outer layer of the hide, and a mezuzah must be written on duchsustus, which is the inner layer of the hide. When one writes on the cloth, he must write on the side of the cloth that originally faced the flesh of the animal, and when writing on duchsustus, he must write on the side that originally faced the hair of the animal. This Braisa was brought as one of the many challenges to Rav, who said that tefillin may also be written on duchsustus. The Gemara deflects the challenge by saying that the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai may be only stating how to fulfill the mitzvah of writing tefillin in the best way possible. However, tefillin written on duchsustus may still be kosher. Daf Pei. So the symbol for Daf Pei is payday. On payday, payday, that means we're on Daf Pei. On payday, the painter put out some cash and bought himself some quick-drying ink, which reminds us, the Mishnah says that one is liable for carrying ink in Rishas HaRabim if it's the amount that two letters can be written with. Rava said if one took out enough ink that one can write two letters with it, but instead of placing the ink down in Rishus HaRabim, he wrote two letters in Rishus HaRabim while he was walking, for example, on a piece of paper or his clothes, he's liable for the transfer. The ksiva, the writing, is considered the hanacha, the placing down of the ink. But if he took out enough ink to write one letter and wrote a letter, and then took out another amount of ink for one letter and wrote a letter, he's exempt, because the two half measures do not combine. And the reason is that the time he took out the last letter, the first letter had already begun to dry and decrease in volume. Therefore, the two letters no longer combine to form a full measure. So on payday, the painter put out some cash and bought himself some quick-drying ink, as well as a bag of half-fig-sized foods to snack on, which reminds us, it says in a Mishnah earlier on Dav Ein Vav and Beis, the one is liable for carrying food out into Rishus Rabim if it's the amount of a grogeris, a dried fig. It was taught in a Braisa that if one took out the equivalent of a chetzi grogeris, half a dried fig, And then he went back inside and took out another equivalent of a chetzi grogeris, and he did so behelam echad, in one lapse of awareness, then he's liable for one chatas offering. However, if he did them b'shtei halamos, in two separate periods of unawareness, then they do not combine, and he is pater. Rav Yossi says that even if the two acts were carried out in the same lapse of awareness, he's only liable if he took them out to the same rishus. But if he took them out into two separate rishus or rabbims, the two half measures do not combine, and he's exempt from bringing chatas. So on payday, the painter pulled out some cash and bought himself some quick-drying ink, as well as a bag of half-fig-sized foods to snack on while plastering his client's home with lime mixed with sand. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that after the Churban, the Rabbanim forbade one from plastering his house with lime unless he mixed straw or sand into the plaster. Rashi explains that mixing the straw or sand into the plaster would darken the lime, which would be a sign of mourning of Avelas for Yerushalayim. Rav Yehuda says that mixing in straw is permitted, but sand is prohibited because it strengthens the plaster, which offsets the detrimental loss of its whiteness. Daf payoff. So the Simmer Daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, grandpa, that means we're on Daf payoff. The grandpa took a special set of three rocks, which reminds us. The Gemara relates that when Zonin came to the basement, she asked, which size stones are used for wiping oneself after going to the bathroom? Rashi explains that knowing these sizes will determine the size that's forbidden to carry on Shabbos, since they have a use. It will also determine the size of stones that one may carry out in his courtyard and not be concerned with muksa, being that they are set aside to use. They answer that one takes out three stones, the first the size of an olive, the second the size of a nut, and the third the size of an egg. Zoni was surprised and asked if one's expected to bring in a scale to the bathroom to weigh the stones. So after some discussion, they concluded that the measure of stones is a handful, regardless of size or number. And the Gemara brings additional opinions regarding which stones are used. So the grandpa took a special set of three rocks up to the roof to preserve his dignity, which reminds Rabbi Rav Shila asked Rav Chisda what the halacha was concerning whether one is permitted to carry the stones with him to his roof if he wishes to relieve himself there. Rashi explains that Rabbi Rav Shila was asking if it should be prohibited because of tircha yaseresa, extra exertion. Rav Chisda answered, Gadol kavod abriya shadoiches losa seishim b'torah. Human dignity is so great that it even suspends the Torah prohibition. Rashi explains that just as the Torah permits a Talmud Chacham to not pick up lost objects that are below his dignity, despite the Torah prohibition to not ignore returning lost objects, so too here one is allowed to take the stones up to the roof to preserve human dignity. Even though muksa is a rabbinic prohibition, it's rooted in the Torah prohibition of Losasur to not deviate from the words of the sages. So the grandpa took a special set of three rocks up to the roof to preserve his dignity, after his grandkins convinced him there was a problem of going in a freshly plowed field with regards to the malacha of plowing. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said it's forbidden for one to relieve himself in a freshly plowed field on Shabbos out of concern that the person will take a stone from the ridge of a furrow and after using it will throw it inside and through flattening out the field, he'll be liable for a toldah of plowing. Rashi explains that one levels a furrow in a field, it's considered the malacha of plowing because he's preparing the ground for planting. Daf Pei Beis. So the symbol for Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The pub, that means we're on Daf Pei Beis. The pub, famous for serving his patrons beer that gave them stomach cramps, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of opinions regarding what one should do if he needs to relieve himself, but is unable to do so. Rav Chisda said he should stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down. Rav Hanan of Nardah said he should remove himself to the sides. Rashi explains that he should move to another spot before trying a second time. Rav Hamnuna said he should manipulate himself in that place with a stone. And the Rabban said he should remove his mind from it, and Ravashi explained that the Rabban meant he should remove his mind from all other matters and concentrate fully on relieving himself. So the pub, famous for serving his patrons beer that gave him stomach cramps, as well as bad breath and body odor, which reminds us, there's a machlokes between Rav Chisda and Ravina concerning one who does not relieve himself when he needs to. One holds he'll develop bad breath. Rashi explains that the waste not excreted will rot and the resulting odor will exit through the mouth. The other one holds he will develop bad body odor. Rashi explains that the rotting waste will be absorbed in his tissues, causing excessive foul perspiration. So the pub, famous for serving his patrons beer that gave him stomach cramps, as well as bad breath and body odor, was fittingly called the tummy idol. Which reminds us, in the opening mission, the ninth parak that deals with the rabbinic enactment that Avodah Zorah transmits tumah, Rabbi Akiva states that Avodah Zorah transmits tumah through carrying it, just like Anita does, based on the comparison of the two in the pasuk, Tzarem kamo dava. Say Tomer Lo. You will cast them away as you would Anita. You'll say to it, the Avodah Zorah, go out. The Gemara brings a mission from Avodah Zorah where the Rabban disagree with Rabbi Akiva and state that Avodah Zorah generates tumah like a sheretz, based on the pasuk that refers to an idol, Shaketz de Shaksenu. You must utterly abominate it. The word sheketz is related to the word sheretz, and therefore, And therefore the Pasuk teaches that just as a sheretz does not generate tumas masa, carrying tuma, neither does a avodah zorah. There's a machlokas ha-maraim on how to understand this dispute. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number one. Which daf do you learn that the shear for unprocessed hides is the same as processed hides, which is a kamea? That's on daf Ein Tes. Good. Number two. Which daf do you learn that the Tuma Zivo was applied to non-Jews mid Rabbanan? That's on daf Pe Gimel. Good. Number three. Which daf do you learn, or we have a Machokas, when one intended to throw something two Amos, but he threw it four Amos, whether that's Mesasek or not? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. Number four. Which daf do we have a Machlokas regarding what type of tumah that the Rabbanan comes from a Avodah Zorah? That's on daf Pei Beis. Good. Number five. Which daf do we have that everything was created for a purpose, even flies and gnats? That's on daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number six. Which daf do we have a question what the shear is for something that has two uses? That's on daf Ein Ches. Great. Number seven. Which daf do we learn that one should never refrain from learning Torah, even until his day of his death at Yom HaMisa? That's on daf Pei Gimel. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we learn that spinning wool off the backs of an animal requires extraordinary chachma? That's on daf Ein Dalet. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we learn that if one needs to relieve himself but doesn't, it creates either bad body odor or bad breath? That's on daf Pei Beis. Great and final question number 10. Which daf do we learn that one can carry stones to the roof for Kavod HaBrius, even though it's Docha Lo Sase? That's on daf Pei Al. Great. Now we go to three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number one. Which daf do we learn why Takanas Ezra was applied specifically to a Baal Keri? That's on daf Chav Beis. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn what the brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei correspond to for Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and Atinus? That's on daf Chav Tes. Good. And finally, question number three. Which daf do we learn about Lo Agorash mocking the dead? That's on daf Yud Ches. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar wishing you a great day and great learning.